I think we forget that the story of Mary and Joseph and Jesus fleeing to Egypt because of political persecution is a Christmas story. I think we forget that. And I think that we also forget that Herod killed every male child age 2 and under, an unnumbered amount of children during that time as well, and that that is also a Christmas story. It is all tied up in the narrative of the birth of Jesus. And we're doing things a little out of order because we're going to deal with the wise men next week. In today's passage, they've already come and gone. But today we have perhaps one of among the most difficult passages in Scripture to deal with. The reality that because Jesus was born, because a king was insecure and fearful, that many died. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat that, and I'm actually glad that there's no kids here, because it maybe lets me talk a little more honestly. This is a hard passage, and it's a Christmas story. Lots of children died because Jesus was born. And how do we reconcile that aspect of it? And then the other side of it, when we look at our world today and we look at places of conflict, refugee camps in Turkey and Jordan, all over the world, and people living displaced because of political persecution. Because in a lot of instances, they are either an ethnic minority or a religious minority in the country that they called home, and a certain political power, a party or ruler came into power and said, well, I don't like you, and I'm fearful of you, and I'm going to eradicate you. And so they fled. And the same thing happened to Jesus Christ, to God's Son, our Lord and Savior. He was born, he was a threat, and so he had to flee. And I'm so thankful that this congregation got involved with refugee sponsorship a number of years ago, because there's such a direct correlation as a Christian and that situation in the world, where it's really how can we do otherwise but to help and find other ways that we can continue to help, advocating for causes of peace, but also making tangible efforts to help individuals who have fled for a variety of reasons, political persecution being one of them. But our passage this morning has Mary and Joseph taking their newborn baby, and we don't know how old Jesus necessarily was at this passage. It's Luke's gospel where we have Jesus being presented at the temple, not Matthew's. We don't know how long it took for the wise men to get there and how long they stayed. But they fled with a child to another country. And of course, we're seeing that happening all over the world today. And the result is, of course, that a generation is slaughtered because a powerful man feared he'd lose his kingdom to a child. And of course, Herod dies like 2 years later. And there's no, like I said earlier, there's no way to sanitize the story. It comes up every 3 years in the lectionary cycle, and I get to decide how I want to deal with that. And it always comes up on the most difficult Sunday of the year to prepare for, the Sunday after Christmas. I didn't write a full proper sermon like I normally do, but I wrote this before I wrote the Christmas Eve service because I knew otherwise I wouldn't get to it and I wouldn't do the work that that any service requires. But this passage in particular, in thinking about and reflecting about it. I don't know. I'm a white male who lives in Canada, right? I'm as privileged as they come. I can't even imagine this. you know, having to flee because I'm hated or despised. I can't even imagine having to pick my boys up and run off somewhere else because someone wanted to see the end of us. It's this story, and what happens repeatedly and is happening right now in the world, is so far from my own experience. It's really difficult to try to even understand it. And yet it's happening all over the world. And I think that maybe that's shock enough to me to say that we still have things going on in the world today that aren't right. If there's no way that I, in my own experience, can even try to relate to what's going on here. And it's being played out, this story. In Syria, as I mentioned, you know, we sponsored a family who fled out of Syria. We were part of a bigger group that brought 7 families in total out of the Middle East, most of them out of the Syria area. And of course, all of those refugee camps are still all there. You know, it was a grain of sand on the beach was what we did. But what we did really did matter. It did make a big difference, and it said to the community that this matters. It said to the world that this matters. And of course, it's happening in Central America right now too. People are fleeing because of violence, because of drugs and drug cartels, and also by the governments. And those families, we've seen this played out over the news this year, they're fleeing north to the belief, security, and safety of the United States, and they're not finding a safe reception. If Jesus was a refugee today, he'd grow up an orphan. You know, I mean, think about that. If Jesus was a refugee today, right? If this story was being played out today, and an angel appears to Joseph and says, "You gotta run, pick Jesus and Mary up, and just, you gotta go," they would have been met probably by a closed border. And if they did get through, they would have been separated. And the stories that we're hearing are that these families aren't getting reunited. Jesus might have grown up as an orphan. And what does that say about our story? What does that say about the situation in the world when we reflect on it from that perspective of how things are going? One of the things that I believe about Jesus is that Jesus came to end cycles of violence like this, of Herod killing all these innocents, of the need to flee for political persecution or religious persecution, that Jesus came to end these cycles of violence. When we look at the Old Testament, we see that there's an ethos of how the people approach God, and that involves sacrifice, that you make a sacrifice to appease God, and then everything's going to be okay. Do your due diligence. We see that when Jesus is presented at the temple, Mary and Joseph have to buy an offering, and they buy the two pigeons as a sacrifice, right? And Jesus really, he came to end that cycle of violence and that cycle of having to make sacrifice to appease God. And Jesus does this by becoming the sacrifice and hanging on the cross. In Mark Heim's book, Saved by Sacrifice, Heim writes about this, that Jesus really represented an end to that old practice of offering a sacrifice, that Jesus himself becomes the ultimate sacrifice. And then by being risen from the dead and the resurrection, says that death has no power anymore. So Jesus comes, ends this cycle of violence, and then shatters the power that it has. Unfortunately, we didn't learn the lesson, and we've gone on sacrificing each other and one another and scapegoating one another and perpetuating cycles of violence, and the church is not innocent of that. When you look at the history of the church, because we got too caught up in the ability to have power and the belief that saving souls by any means was acceptable, and we know different today. But God, in the form of a good man, Jesus Christ, died. An innocent man, Jesus, was hung. So God allows God's self to be sacrificed to demonstrate, as I said, through resurrection, that cycles of violence are not the answer. And when we see true healing and when we see true reconciliation, I mean, there's never violence involved in true healing and in true reconciliation. It's always dialogue and mutual understanding and lots of listening to one another. And so it's my hope and my prayer, of course, that these cycles of violence can be broken, that we can see through a better way. The news cycle that goes, tells me that the world might not think that way, but I do, and I'm willing to be a rock in the water that causes a ripple that says, hey, maybe there's a better way. And I believe that each and every one of you also feels that way. And so we can't sanitize the fact that Herod killed all these children. And that Herod did that because Herod was afraid. And that Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the promise of a king, though certainly it wasn't the king, they didn't get the king they thought they were going to get. And that's probably a good thing. That Jesus, again, breaks that cycle. He's not what people were expecting. We can't sanitize that. We can't clean that up and say, well, that didn't happen, or we'll just skip that passage. Neil, if you could read verses 13 to 15 and just skip 16 to 18, that would be great, because we don't want to hear that part where all the kids are killed. But that doesn't really do the story any justice. It doesn't do us any favors. But I believe that we can hold this up as a witness and say, the one who came and preached peace, the one who came and said, the ways of the world aren't right. People are oppressed and they need to be lifted up. People are hungry and they need to be fed. We're not doing good enough for our people. And Jesus said this 2,000 years ago, and nothing's really changed. The powers are still there. The structures are all still there. They might look a little different. But what we can lift this passage up and say, this one who came, even when he was a child, was seen as such a threat that he had to be eliminated and eradicated. What are you, what are people, what are leaders, what are, I don't want to point fingers at particular groups. I don't think that's necessarily helpful either. But what are people so afraid of? That we can't share a little, that we can't love a little bit more. And so this is a Christmas story where we celebrate, the themes of Advent, hope, love, peace, and joy, where we welcome Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Almighty God, our wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, God with us. And part of that story, embedded in that story, is that this birth of this child, of God coming with us, was so disruptive that he had to be eliminated. It wouldn't happen then. It would take 33 years. And they finally get him, right? But it's a powerful story and a powerful reminder that the way of the world, the things that Jesus came to change, they're still with us today. And we can do better as Christians in our advocacy and in the way that we ensure that we treat one another and that we love one another. It's not an uplifting sermon. I'm not going to apologize for that, though, because it's not an uplifting passage. And we can say, hooray, they got the warning and they got out. But I'm going to be really honest with you. Why was Joseph the only one who got the warning? That eats me up, right? When you ask questions about the text. And the only thing that I can say is, I don't know if the slaughter of the innocents, as I refer to it, I don't know where the historical accuracy is in that, but it certainly tells us a story about how people feared God and feared the truth that God really represented. And so, you know, that's the only thing I can draw out of this, is say, you know what, this is a passage that tells us that we really, the coming of Jesus and all the promises that that represents was to fight this sort of stuff, where innocent people are killed for no good reason. And that's our task. That's our calling. Our calling as followers of Christ, as individuals who follow in the way of Jesus Christ. And I think that that's a better, I'll be really honest, a better way of referring to ourselves than Christians. We follow in the way of Jesus Christ. What was the way that he took? What were the roads that he took? The decisions that he made? How did he treat people? And that needs to be the bar that we set for ourselves. We'll never achieve it all, but I think that that always needs to be what we're striving for in terms of what we're doing, how we're living, and how we're treating, and how we're loving one another, so that we can say, this is the God that we follow, this is what we believe, this is why it matters, because things like this, of innocent children being slaughtered, of families needing to flee for religious and political persecution, that's not okay, that needs to stop in our world, and we need to do a better job on these things. I'll leave it there. I think I've said enough. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing our hymn. Let's pray. Loving God, if we are honest with ourselves, there is much in Scripture that we find troubling and that we find difficult to deal with. We find hard to make sense of. Our passage this morning is one of those. It is violent in a most extraordinary way. And yet through that, we are required to find some nugget of good news, and to reconcile that this story is a Christmas story, and to hold that in parallel with the birth and the nativity story of your Son, who is our Lord and Savior. And so be with us. There are no easy answers, and we shouldn't be looking for the easy ones. So be with us, allow your Holy Spirit to nurture our minds and our hearts as we wrestle with your word as we find it in Scripture. And allow us to always see the truth that is there and how we as followers of your Son, followers in the way of Jesus Christ, can live better in this world and lead by example in this world. In Jesus' name, Amen.